back, and hopefully it's the beginning of some good things at Tennessee.
You know, I think that's a good way of looking at it. Hopefully it is the beginning. And, you know, at the end of the day, whether it's a one-shot deal and we go on some kind of like little losing streak here or not, which I don't know because our team's pretty beat up. You know, the whole thing with Georgia next week, that's a crapshoot, right? I mean, that's not a – any game in this league's not a given. Russell, would you say that, that next week's Georgia game, despite how Georgia played today, every game in this league's a coin flip. It just is.
You better strap it on and be ready for next week because as crappy as they've looked, you're still going on the road in the SEC, so it's going to be a tough –
It is, and here's the thing, you know, you got a true freshman quarterback there, but we've got a beat up secondary, and he's gonna have an opportunity with some very good wide receivers to make plays, although their offensive line isn't very good. They held out, Chubb after he got hurt today with an ankle injury, but the point you bring up is this. The thing about games like today is, you can never take that away from a fan. You can never take that away from a kid. And the coaches say that the reason you come to a place like a Tennessee is for the opportunity to play in games like this. And I think that's a very profound thing. I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah, I agree. You have a night where Todd Kelly Jr. has such a big night and Barnett has a good night. Get to walk out with that feeling, which is what I remember 11 years ago, walking out as a senior after Will Hoyt hit that field goal. Tony, do you guys think that Coach Jones bought himself some more time tonight? I mean, is that win so significant that now he gets that big win that he's not so much on the hot seat anymore?
I don't think he was ever on a hot seat. I think there's some discomfort. And I still think there will be discomfort. I think Butch Jones is his own worst enemy. He doesn't feel, I mean, I'm just giving you a little inside baseball. I'm one of the few people in town that will speak to people like they're people, and I'm not worried about it. Earlier tonight, Sean Sinclair made a great point, and he's another one. He doesn't care, and Dubs doesn't care, just to say what it is. Butch Jones's deal is that he is really sensitive. How sensitive is he? Butch Jones will call people in the media and will say, writers especially, not talk radio, but writers, and will say, I didn't like your game story or blah, 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 or this or that, or, you know. Look, when you're a head coach at UT, and hopefully, this is what Cinco said, and he's right, hopefully he will relax after winning this game, take a deep breath and go, you know what? I'm here. I've proved myself. I'm here. Now, whether or not he's proved himself, I don't know. It's not up to me. I like him because he works hard, and I don't want to go coach hunting because you see what happens when you get in the midst of that. So in my mind, I hope he's here for a while. My belief was if he didn't win today, after next season, we'd be coach hunting. Now, could we be coach hunting after next season? I mean, this season could still go south. So I've seen things turn here. 5 years at Tennessee is long enough to get you to Atlanta. I hope he can do that. So, and I'm believing that's going to happen here. So I guess my take is he's here for a while. Yeah.
Good. Well, thanks, Tony, for taking the call.
Hey, thank you.
Making the ride back up a little more pleasant.
Have a good night.
Looking forward to next week.
Hey, great being there. Great being there for you. Russell, do you have a thought on that in terms of what this does for his longevity?
Well, I mean, there's no such thing as longevity in college football coaching anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, things can change so quickly. And, you know, y'all jumped on me last week. I said these things are never decided by one game. This doesn't mean we should go Kentucky and give him a 10-year extension or anything. I mean,
right.
You let the season play out. Let's see how
right.
it goes. I mean,
Butch
Jones is going to be here next year if he wants to. That's my opinion. I don't think the bottom's going to fall out. But
I'll tell you what, he's sensitive enough that he'd take his ball and go home.
Yeah, maybe.
And he doesn't feel appreciated. I know that.
He's
very sensitive.
He has as much job security as anybody in the SEC not named Nick Saban right now.
I'd agree with that.
How about this number real quickly for you, Tony? This is pretty fascinating. Josh Dobbs today, under pressure, had a 116.5 pass rating with four touchdowns. In a clean pocket, 34.4 pass rating with no touchdowns.
Wow. That's a great question to ask Jerry
Colquitt. What's up with that, man? Is he just clutch, or is he...
He loves pressure.
He's got to be moving. He's got to
be moving and grooving. Hey, last week, the two best passes he threw, that one to Kroom where he was getting hit backwards, and he threw like that little jump pass, and he put it right on the money. It's pretty
Which it's weird because you would think super smart kid, highly analytical. He would thrive in the, you know, just being able to read the field. But it's as if he's better when he's just reacting and not thinking.
You know why? His mechanics are bad. I talk to people that teach that position, and he's just not a good thrower of the football. He's just not. People want to make that guy something he's not. He's not a good thrower of the football. He's a fine competitor, and that's his strength. But he's not.
He's kind of got
a thrower of the football. He's just a playmaker. That's what he does.
I'm not comparing him to Johnny Manziel, but remember how Manziel thrived in chaos and just run around and make something happen.
Yeah.
Dobbs is at his best when he's moving around.
And that's why Manziel couldn't play pro football, because you know what happens in pro football when you create
chaos?
You got
to be in a system. Yeah.
You get killed.
Boy.
Like when he played that first game in Cleveland, and that big guy from, I think it was Pittsburgh, hit him and started, was like, oh, no, it was Cincinnati, hovered over him and did that money thing to him. I'm like, he's like, kid, you're going to get killed. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. And let's grab our next call as we're 5 hours and 7 minutes into our marathon. Hello and welcome.
What's up, Basilio? What's up, Russell? It's Roberto.
Hey, brother. Welcome in.
You'll have to forgive me. I lost my voice a few times tonight. Wow, Texas A&M is beating the hell out of Arkansas. They're pretty good. Guys, I want to join in the celebration. I'm really proud of this team. They hung in there. They're tough. You guys agree with this?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Okay, just making sure. I was really, really proud of the way they played. I was really, really proud of how tough they reacted. Josh Dobbs, Dubsy, I wanted to credit what you said just now. I never thought he's great in the pocket. And I disagree with a lot of people that says, well, he's so smart, this and that. Dude, when you're that smart, you're too analytical. Watch him in the interview. Just watch. He's so analytical that he almost can't talk to people because he's very focused. And I have no problem with that. I mean, the kid's clearly intelligent. But when he does not have to say, okay, this is the read I need to go through and this, and he reacts, he's so damn athletic, it doesn't matter. Okay? That's what I believe about him, and I've always believed that.
I tell you what he is. He's an incredible competitor. The guy wants,
yeah,
to win.
Yeah, he wants to win.
And, by the way, Tennessee tonight, never missing an opportunity. A couple people have sent me things to my email. They are popping people for 2017 football season tickets right now, tonight.
I got my email about 12 minutes after the game was over.
How next level is that? As soon as the game was over, they were sending them out. That means they planned to win today.
Yeah, they did. They sure as hell did. They didn't. Guys, I think every time we have a home game, hold on a second. Sorry, I don't know what happened. Every time we have a home game, I think we ought to just put 21 points on the board for the other team. And Butch sees 21, and he just says, F it. Let's just do what we do. Let our players make plays. And Juwan Jennings had the greatest troll ever tonight. Did you hear what he did after the game, guys?
No.
He wore freaking gator skin boots after the game. I love that kid. He's got so much dog in him. He became a man tonight. Tony, he's got to be playing both ways now that we're so depleted. I think he could be a great two-way player on this team. He doesn't have to play every possession, but God, he loves hitting people too.
God, they would fall in love with him, the national press.
Oh,
he's
God,
got
yeah.
some serious swaggle. He really does, as we say in the trade.
And he would have a legit shot at some Heisman hype next year if he was a two-way player like that. Remember the Miles Jack kid out at UCLA?
Yeah.
Because he would be that kind of player.
Absolutely. Could be a total impact player. No doubt about it.
And then I want to give some due where I'm pretty hard on this kid in general, but Colton Jumper played his ass off tonight. He let us some tackles. You guys realize that?
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm proud of him. He played hard. And you know what? Dylan Bates played a pretty good game. I really watched the linebacking core tonight. And they played off their feet. That was the best I've seen them play this year. And as I said on your show the other day, Dubsy, Chance Hall was the difference maker in this game. Our offensive line didn't get pushed around. Everybody said, oh, blah, 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 at the beginning of the game. That wasn't our offensive line's fault. We just weren't moving the ball. And it was terrible play calling the first quarter. But Chance Hall is the difference maker. He and Jack Jones on the right side of that line are straight up nasty. And they're going to be that way for two more years, which is exciting to me as a fan. And by the way, guys, Trey Smith was right in front of me today. Do you know who this is, Tone? Number one recruit in America?
Yep. Yep.
He was eating it up, man. It was really nice to see, and I think there's a really good chance Tennessee ends up with him.
Wow. We got some breaking news tonight, huh?
Well, I mean, come on, you know, it's what it is, but I really do believe we have a chance with him. And, that would be nice because Bama's on him pretty hard.
Yeah, if Bama's going after him, Bri, you better pay that kid some money.
No. Hell yes, and lots of it.
And lots of it, Bri.
And lots of it. Well, guys, I'm going to try to recoup my voice for Texas A&M. I really appreciate what you're doing here, Tony. It means a lot to me as a Cobham fan. And it's just been really fun celebrating with everybody. Sorry I'm not drunk enough. That was a couple of 5 or 6 hours
ago. Am I drunk enough for you? Thank you, man. Good talking to you.
Take care.
865-200-5402. If you want to get in the hunt and in the mix with us. The great Jerry Colquitt now joins us. Jerry, you built up Florida like they were the 85 Bears. They looked like it in the first half. Game flipped on a dime. Then we'll go back to the phones. Your thoughts?
Interesting. This game was one of those I thought for Tennessee to pull out a victory. I thought they would have to do something that was not on paper, something that you can't account for. So, you know, things like the fans, things like, you know, Josh Dobbs just playing out of his mind.
Yep.
You know, which he did about 2 or 3 times last season.
Yes, he did.
Things like that, I thought, would have to come into play this game. And I thought if both those teams just lined up and played straight up, I thought Tennessee would have some trouble. I thought Luke Del Rio not being out there, thought that helped them a little bit. But I really did think it was going to come down to Dobbs and the crowd. You know, people take it for granted, but, you know, we talk about coaching, stamina and endurance, the ability to call plays in a tight game, you know, for a 4 quarter straight. Those things, man, in a pressure cook situation, you can just see, I think it happened to them this game. You know, last year, I thought Dobbs kept us in the game for most of that contest throughout the fourth quarter. I thought they lost their way a little bit, kind of like Virginia Tech a couple games ago. And, you know, on the road, you know, you take Callaway. You know, Callaway is an awesome player. Callaway might be the best player on that team, you know, minus, you know, the big guy inside, number 57. But for him to make two just critical errors inside the 10-yard line on special teams plays, which when I look back at it at this game, I think that was kind of the turnaround for everything. That's just home field crowd. That's just the fans being in it. That's just stuff that you can't account for on a scouting report, you know, which is what,
What makes the game, Jerry, you know?
Yes, sir.
And here's the thing. I give that crowd a lot of credit because that game's 21-3. How many crowds in America, Jerry, are out of that game at halftime? How many? If that's Florida, now we haven't talked about this, Russell, but how bad those Florida fans are, Dubsy. If that's Florida fans, how many of those people leave at halftime? You called the front runners before.
Emptied out.
Jerry, I would submit to you that 15 to 20,000 of those people would have left early. 21-3. Am I wrong?
Oh, you're totally right. You're totally right.
Wow.
But it's just real interesting because if you look back at this series, I can think of just a bunch of crazy things that happened to us.
Yep.
On the road down there where we're playing a pretty good game.
Yep.
You know, for two quarters, you know, two and a half quarters. And then about the end of that third quarter, man, just for goofy stuff starts happening. And tonight, you know, the shoe was on the other foot. It was awesome.
It was awesome. That's a great way of putting it. Let's go to the phones. I bet you and young Ava were watching it. She's enjoying it, had her orange on. Josh Dobbs, give him that stat about Josh Dobbs. I want Jerry's thoughts. Jerry played quarterback at UT, coached in college, coached in the NFL. Give him that number you gave me on Dobbs. Or if you can just recall part of it or some
basically,
of it.
Basically, was a study of Dobbs in the pocket versus, in a nice, healthy pocket versus when he was playing under distress. Under pressure, he had a 116.5 passer rating with four touchdowns. In a clean pocket, his passer rating was 34.4 with zero touchdowns.
Jerry, how do you explain that?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty incredible when you think about it. Usually that stat is flipped. You know, the higher the number of pressure downs, you know, equates with a lower pass percentage average, and especially, just the number of touchdowns and so on and so forth. So,
can I give you mine? Can I give you what I think? I think that his mechanics are so screwy that he's almost better off just improvising.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about it all the time. I you know, if I go back and look at, you know, just the basic, fundamentals of that position, they are not a three-step drop, fall out of hand, five-step drop,
no.
fall out of hand,
no.
a quarterback in rhythm throwing the football.
No.
Everything's off, you know, some sort of fake. And then when they finally do just drop back and pass it, it almost looks like his timing is off.
Yep.
I totally agree with you there. And then in those other situations when he can just, be under duress, you know,
yep.
things are chaotic, that's when he can just be a player. When you think about it, I mean, it kind of totally makes sense the way that they're really coached to run that offense and the way that he can just compensate, for, you know, what he's given out there.
Let's go back to our busy phones. The great Jerry Colquitt is joining, and let's get our next call up. Hello and welcome in.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on your Smartway Garza Law Firm fifth quarter fan reaction.
Well, thank you, sir. It's not quite a king of July, but I've got three things to say.
Hey, this take your time. Take your time, brother. You're among friends here. Take your time.
All right, man. I'm from West Tennessee, Jackson. I'm in Gulf Shores on vacation. But what I wanted to say was about the goalposts. You know, I'm kind of like Pat Ryan. He said, will they tear the goalposts down? He said, I hope not, because that shows that you don't deserve to be there. I like the fact that we didn't.
Sir, did you call us earlier?
I sure did.
I got to get other people, and I love you, and I appreciate you being there, but I got to get other
double
people.
Double dipping on the fifth quarter.
Yeah, we can't do that. But thank you for the call, nonetheless. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Appreciate you guys taking my call, Tony.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for being there.
No problem. I'm glad you guys are staying up. You guys are going to do another marathon tonight.
I don't know about that. I'm kind of tailing off here, but go ahead.
Yeah, this is Mike in San Antonio. I just wanted to call in and congratulate the Vols on a great second half. And Texas was off today. They didn't have a game this week, so all my in-laws and a couple of friends came over to the house and watched the ball game.
Yes, sir.
You know, it was a little squirmy, a little squeamish during the first half, but the second half kept everybody on the edge of their seats. And this was, and you know, they told me it ended up one of the most exciting football games that they've seen in a long time. They know their football here. They loved the smoky gray uniforms. They couldn't stop talking about the uniforms, the helmets. They couldn't stop talking about the stadium, Checker Kneeland, the atmosphere. I mean, I'm glad that I was able to show them and they were able to see firsthand what our team's all about when they're clicking. Whatever our identity is for our football team, I still don't know, but whatever it is, they found their groove in the second half. And it takes them being, I guess their backs have to be up against the wall for them to actually show what they have, and they showed it tonight. And another thing, too, about 2 hours after the game, a lady that I used to work with, she has two students, former students that are actually going to AM, and they gave her tickets to the ball game. She called me tonight after the game. She said, Michael, she said, I know you're a big Vols fan. She said, I've got these tickets. She said, I'm not going to be able to make it. Do you want them? I'm like, hell yes. I'm going to the A&M game here in 2 weeks with my brother-in-law. So that's pretty awesome. I'm watching this game right now, and it's going to be a hell of a ball game. These are almost two mirror images of one another. They have, you know, exceptional defensive line play. They've got, I mean, so much skill position, wide receivers on the perimeter. It's going to be an awesome game.
I tell you what, man, that A&M team, Jerry, I don't know if you're watching that.
They're nasty.
Jerry, have you seen any of that game tonight? They will knock your face off.
Yeah. Their defense has been pretty nasty. You know, I think they don't get the respect that they do in some of the national clout.
Nope.
Because, and especially on that side of the conference, you know, you got a lot of teams that speed the play of the game up. So, some of those numbers look a little bit inflated, when they play Texas A&M. But really, you know, they got, their defensive end, his name that I can't, draw right now, but his name,
Jerry,
Becky will probably be the first defensive lineman pick.
Trevor Knight just ran a straight keep to salt this game away.
He's had several
monster
runs.
For about
runs.
55 yards. He's got to be over 200 yards rushing in that game. He is.
Close. I saw his stats earlier, yeah.
He just had a 62-yard run from scrimmage. And it's 45-24. And they have beaten the fire out of that poor Arkansas team who loves to bloody people. And they just smashed their face in tonight. Right in Jerry's world.
It was tied 17-17 at halftime, I believe.
It was a great football game. I thought it was going to be a street fight.
Yeah.
How about today's game, y'all? Jerry, I thought today's game, like Butch Jones said, I thought today's game would be a fist fight in a phone booth. But I think Tennessee realized they could throw the ball on those guys. And that's exactly what Tennessee did today, Jerry. Jerry, were you surprised by that, the way we were able to throw the ball in the second half?
Not necessarily in the middle of the field. I didn't think you were going to make a living throwing on the outside, you know, against, Tabor and Wilson.
Yeah.
Number 31 and number 6. I mean, you saw, I mean, it was, man, just to get a completion.
But they had some big passes over Tabor late. And I don't know whether it was because he got hurt and then he just wasn't
right.
The same. But,
right.
But once they started attacking the middle, they started attacking the flats too. And how about the way they were just throwing the ball up? I was really shocked. It was like they just threw caution to the wind.
Well, that's the thing with these guys. I mean, when you got Malone, who's 6'2", 6'3", then you got Jennings, 6'2", 6'3". You know, sometimes, even when you got a tough matchup like that, you know, against a guy like a Wilson or a Tabor, sometimes it's just, you know, put the ball up. Give you guy a chance to go up there and get it and let that guy make a play. I mean, if you think about it,
yep.
You know, Malone and Jennings, these are four-star, five-star recruits in their own right. So, if you think about it from that standpoint, I mean, I would rather give those guys a chance, a 50-50 ball on a deep ball versus, you know, trying to make the perfect throw on all these short to intermediate throws when you know that the coverage is going to be tighter with you know, a bunch of junk and extra help from inside defenders in the middle of the field. So why not give those guys a chance, you know, down the sideline and see, you know, who can make the most athletic play?
You know, Trevor Knight, Mike in San Antonio, only accounted for 375 yards total offense. Other than that, it wasn't real good.
Yeah,
close to 200 rushing.
Kid.
Wow.
He's from, he played at Reagan High School here in San Antonio. And, you know, he was a guy that, you know, he transferred from Oklahoma because he got beat out by Baker Mayfield.
That's right.
And he was the kid that led Oklahoma to victory over Alabama in that bowl game a couple of years ago.
Blowout.
Yeah, they thought he was going to be a superstar, and he couldn't beat out Baker Mayfield. But look what he's done here with A&M so far. They've been pretty impressive the first four games of the year.
Yep.
And if Tennessee wins against, is the Georgia game going to be on CBS next week?
Yes.
All right, so we'll get CBS next week. If they win, we're going to have one heck of a top 10 matchup against A&M. Which will obviously be another CBS game.
Yes, and then Alabama
that,
is playing a CBS game.
Yeah, the number one team in the country in Alabama. Tennessee would be on CBS. Oh, boy. Vern and Gary for 4 weeks in a row. For Vols football.
Did Oregon win today against...
No, Colorado beat them.
You got to be kidding me.
That was one of the most amazing catches you'll ever see, too, that Colorado receiver made.
We're looking at some highlights right now. Oregon's uniforms, Jerry, can you describe them to me?
You know what it is?
What?
The uniform is designed so that they look like ducks. Hence the orange socks and orange shoes.
It is absolutely moronic. You know, that's great irony that both Butch Jones and who's this guy out here at Colorado?
McIntyre.
Both Butch Jones and McIntyre. Jones almost took that job, and they both got their signature win on the same exact day.
Yep.
Jones took that job and then turned around and came back and took our job, basically.
And do you mind if I ask a question to Jerry before
please,
I get off here?
Please do. That's what Jerry's here for. Jerry's
Jerry's
here to espouse government conspiracy theories and also to talk ball.
Oh, cool. That's what my alley then. Hey, what did you notice, Jerry, in the second half of the ball game? Not just emotion-wise from the team or momentum-wise from the team. What did you notice thematically that we did better in the second half?
Yeah, I thought just the one thing, I thought on offense, to me it looked like we just caught routine balls. You know, and I know Josh Dobbs wasn't hitting those guys on the right number, perfectly leading them on some of those throws in the first half, but to me, you know, when you're at that level, University of Tennessee, upper echelon SEC teams, you got to catch those footballs. You just do. Guys like Carl Pickens, Alvin Harper, Anthony Morgan, those guys caught them for a Sterling Hinton, or they caught them for an Andy Kelly. So if you think about it, Juwan Jennings and Josh Malone, those guys, Josh Smith, Ethan Wolf, Chrome, man, you gotta catch those balls. Like, you just do. If it's a catchable ball, you gotta catch it. You just do. And to me, I thought that was the one thing that they did in the second half. They caught those routine passes. And I thought Josh, actually, his accuracy got better in the second half, whereas he was hitting some of those guys on the back shoulder in the first half. Second half, he was hitting those guys in stride.
Like that play when they lined Malone up in the backfield. He came out, lined up behind the wide receiver, and hit that slant. That was the prettiest pass I think I've seen him throw in a long time. Perfectly in stride, right on the numbers for a 43-yard touchdown pass. The one thing I noticed about Dobbs, on these crossing routes, he has a bad habit of throwing the ball behind his receivers. Is that from not being able to anticipate the speed of the wide receiver? Is it mechanics? What caused him to throw so many passes behind the wide receivers like he generally, you know, like he does, you know, quite a bit, actually?
I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, you take, when you evolve a quarterback so much in the run game. Now it's a give and take because Dobbs is going to give you so much as a runner. But when, to me, I look at it as a fatigue and energy thing. So if I have my guys that are running around that much, and then I ask them to all of a sudden go back and make a throw or draw back in the pocket, you know, make an assessment of coverage, boom, make an accurate throw. It takes a lot to do that in itself. So the fact that they're asking him to do really two jobs and one job in the way that they coach him to be quarterback for this team, to me, I think that's a big part of it. I think if they had just asked him to be a prototypical pro style dropback quarterback, I think he would do just fine. But the fact that they're asking him from just a physical standpoint to do both, sometimes I wonder if he's just fatigued half the time, and you know his footwork is off, his timing is a little bit off, and then you know just every now and then just his athletic ability, him just being a player in the moment, just kind of takes over, and then he'll let some rip.
You know what he is?
It's crazy,
Jerry. Right? He's a very unpredictable. He's way more of a playmaker and a leader than he is a real true classic quarterback. And maybe he's part of what you see in the modern day college football where it's more about the spread and it's just more about the system than it is the quarterback running the system. But Mike in San Antonio, thanks, bro. Good talking to you.
No problem, man. I appreciate you guys taking my questions and taking my call. And,
thank you.
And you guys have a good night. We'll be talking to you, man.
And I just love the leadership of Dobbs. You know, Jerry, every kid, like Dubsy and I, we started out tonight. Every kid that plays college football should experience a day like those kids did. It's been several classes at Tennessee that have gone through there.
They didn't get to. Yeah.
Without experiencing a day like that.
Yep.
Whether this is a real thing or a popcorn fart in 2016, and that's to be seen. Jerry, yeah. I say, good for them. That's wonderful to experience that day today. And that kid is one of those people because he's so tough. Should have won last year in Gainesville. Deserved to win last year in Gainesville.
You're exactly right. And I tell you, this team is so blessed to have that kid at quarterback right now, especially with the talent that they're amassing around him. I kind of liken it to the T. Martin days. T. Martin... Tennessee hit that thing just right because their best talent was on that team when in 98.
Absolutely.
When T. Martin became quarterback, and all they needed was a guy who could just go out there and just win.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it didn't have to be perfect. The pass protection and the checking off and all that stuff, the game management that Peyton could do for you, but just, hey, man, if everything breaks down, can that guy go out there, get a scramble, keep the chains moving against just a tough-nosed team? And you have that sometimes in college football, you know, a T. Martin, this year, Josh Dobbs, Nick Marshall, their championship year. When I first moved up here in Seattle, Marcus Tulley off the SoPo, he reminded me so much of T. Martin. Like, when those guys had the ball the last 5 minutes of the game, you felt that team had a chance to go out there and
win. They're winners.
And,
You know what? Steve McNair was like that in Nashville. When Steve McNair got the ball last, you were losing. Period.
Mm-hmm.
Because the guy was going, and he was a lot like Dobbs in that he would run your ass over, if that's what it took. Remember how McNair was, Dobbsy? You literally had to shoot that guy to get him on the ground.
He's
a toughest guy to
toughest
ever play. I've never seen anything like that.
He was man of steel.
And Dobbs tonight had some runs that were sick. Crazy, carrying people.
Now, Dobbs has gotten so much bigger.
Oh, bad man, dude.
I mean, he's a good 220, 25 pounds now, and he gets as good as he gets.
Let's go to the phones. I mean, he's just not what you would call a classic thrower of the football, and it makes people mad. I said it all summer.
I think he gets better throwing the ball, though, the more hits he takes. You know, like when he gets in those runs where he's moving the pile and you're like, oh, man, we can't be exposing him to those kind of hits. It seems like that gets him going.
Playing behind that offensive line, he gets plenty of opportunities for that. Let's get our next call in, 865-200-540.
It's a cheap shot.
I meant it as a cheap shot. It's It's 1:09 in the Eastern Time Zone. Jerry's just getting warmed up.
Is he going to sing to us tonight?
I don't know what Jerry's going to do. Jerry's might share us something from his prepper handbook. By the way, 865-200-5402. For the first time all night, I have a line available. And let's go to the phones and get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hello, welcome.
Yeah, hey.
Hey.
Hey. You're on the air. Welcome.
Oh, yeah. So, Jerry, I was at the Rose Bowl, the 94-95 opener, and I was sitting with Carolyn's pulpit. Hello?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah, I think it's right then. And I'm not so Jerry. But it was just to Carolyn, though, that there was a speaker that came out on the field. This was in the second quarter. He was fighting to sit for everything not to check out the speaker. Derek, you still there?
I'm still here. You cut down a little bit,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, we can hardly hear you. Do you have, like, an earpiece on or something?
No, I don't. I do not.
Okay, yeah. If you could speak into your phone for us, we can kind of... It's kind of fuzzy, but go ahead. I guess he didn't like that. I'm sorry. I'm not a hand holder. Let's go back to the phones. Get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony. How you doing? This is Sean and Callie.
Hey, Sean and Callie. Welcome in, man. You got Jerry Colquitt in beautiful Seattle. We're in Knoxville. This town is ablaze. Everybody's fired up. Couches are burning down on Cumberland. It's a pretty beautiful night.
It's a beautiful thing to hear that.
It is.
It is. Jerry, how you doing this evening? Oh, man, I'm wonderful. How about you? Oh, I'm doing. It's a beautiful day over here. So first thing, I heard of a few callers calling to gripe about one thing or another. I tweeted it to you, but if you can't enjoy tonight, I don't know why you're a fan. I can't remember a time feeling this good.
Yeah, like Jerry said, the thing about these games are, which is beautiful, Sean, about college football, guys like Jerry take it scientifically, right? And I had a feeling all week that it wasn't scientific, that it was going to be something extraordinary. Now, I did not realize by extraordinary it was going to be like a generational, this was our miracle South Bend game. I had no idea that was coming. But I just thought the streak's ending because it's 11 in a row, and 11 in a row is the best you got through the history of this league, and Tennessee had never lost anybody 12 years in a row, and this Appleby guy ain't beating you. He just didn't. That was not going to happen. But little did I know we would get out down 21-3 and have one of the most incredible turnarounds you'll ever see in any football game, let alone something involving that.
We all had to start going through head coaches in our head at that point, right?
Absolutely. Everybody
is.
He's in his head going, oh my gosh, I'm going to get rocked here, and they're going to blow me out of here. Absolutely he's doing
that.
And
he would have deserved to. But I also, because, you know, we as fans, we're kind of tough on Dobbs sometimes because he's not the best passer in the world. But tonight, what he showed was incredible. I mean, it's one of those things that I'll probably be telling my son about the time that Dobbs led us back against Florida. I mean, because if you saw what happened to Georgia with Eason with that kid, his players were doing the exact same thing in the first half, dropping balls left and right, and he went into a shell. And Dobbs threw another pick in the second half, but he just kept chugging along. So
that's the one that really impressed me. That's the one, yeah. Sean and Callie, that really impressed me. And Jared, I'd like your thoughts on that. When you come out in the second half and you're down 21-3, and you go down the length of the field and you throw that pick, and it's just crushing. It's just so deflating. But then you get up off the mat from that. That's pretty remarkable resolve, Jerry. And wouldn't a lot of guys have folded it in there?
You know what? I'm going to disagree a little bit, Tony. There are a lot of people like Josh Dobbs, man. They're almost they're oblivious to the bad that's going on around them. I mean, there were so many things that happened against this offense early on. Just all the drops, you know, with the one red zone series, we've dropped two touchdowns in the end zone. And just all sorts of weird stuff. But sometimes, man, it's just when you know when I think that if it would have been a game where it's 28-3, I think that's different. But the fact, and I know that people have given Butch Jones a hard time, a lot for going for three, but I want to, commend him for taking the point. Cause I often say, hey, if you've got a quarter left, you're probably gonna get about three or four possessions. So you equate that to, two quarters. So you're gonna get about 7 to 8 more possessions, for the rest of that game. So the fact that he went in there into halftime with some positivity, and they went right down, and, you know, because of their own fault, they dropped a couple of touchdown opportunities. They didn't go for it or they didn't get on the fourth down, conversion there. I thought the fact that Florida didn't have 28 instead of 21, that's in college football, that 18-point difference is really nothing, unless Florida can come right back out there, their first possession, and get that thing up to 28 or 24. That now might be a different ball game, but the fact that they did it, you just don't know. You just don't know.
You really don't. You really don't. It's such an incredible game, Sean, for that reason. Go ahead, buddy. I'm sorry.
It's my fault, Sean. But one more thing I wanted to bring up was Derek Barnett. Cause I don't know how much, as you can hear, I got the kids running around over here.
I love the kids. It's all about the kids, as Big Will says. I love the kids.
Yeah, it's become a tradition with me and my son after these big SEC games to, start singing Rocky Top at the top of our lungs in the house all the way over here. So hopefully we can keep that going.
How old's your son?
But he's 8.
That's awesome, dude.
It is. So, you know, his mom's a Buckeyes fan too. So it's good. I'm bringing him over to the good side over here. But, one other thing I wanted to bring up was Derek Barnett, because I haven't heard too many people bring him up and how much of a game. I mean, he had himself a game. And, you know, the stats don't always do it justice, because it looked like they were trying to go back to going to the deep ball when Tennessee started going on a roll, and he just wouldn't. He was just causing mayhem on his side. I just wanted to hear your guys' thoughts.
Jerry, your thoughts on Barnett's play?
I noticed they started doing some things schematically as the game progressed that they weren't doing early on. They actually started doing some hard slanting, you know, right at the snap count. So, and, you know, instead of him, you know, playing his two-gap, you know, right on the player that's right on and right in front of him, it was almost like they said, hey, it's not a blitz, but you're going to slant to this particular gap, and we're going to do that to try and disrupt whatever's going on in the backfield. And I really, really think they were doing some of that stuff to disrupt some of the run that was hurting them in the first quarter or two. And I think we spoke earlier in the week. I don't think Derek Barnett necessarily is a premier. I know he's not a premier pass rusher, but I think Derek Barnett is a good combo guy. And if Derek Barnett can get you behind, you think he's the kind of player where if he can get you behind, from a down and distance standpoint, and, that's when I think that you seem to, get, more pass rush out of him. But it's in those situations where maybe, you know, the other opponent is, you know, getting a second and short, a third and short. Now I think Derek Barnett becomes less of a pass rusher, more of just a true run defender, like he is.
Well, he's definitely doing a good job. I'll get off and let you guys take more phone calls, but, thanks as always, gentlemen. Good show, Tony.
Hey, thank you, man. Love you. Back to our phones we go, 865-200-5402. Jerry, were you on Tennessee's team, the Miracle South Bend game?
Yep, 91.
And when you fall behind in a game like that, at what point do you just say, hey, the hell with this, we're done? You guys were down what in that game? What was the score in that game? Do you remember?
It was, I want to say 30, right about 30 or 31 to
three.
Nothing.
31 going, nothing.
And then right before halftime, I think it was Floyd Miley blocked the field goal attempt, recovered it, and ran it back for touchdown. So, again, this is another one of those deals where the other team can't just bury their opponent right before halftime, and then all of a sudden, you know, the team that's behind, they get something right before halftime. And I felt like today that was kind of what we needed.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? After blowing that first drive, I thought just them getting something, they were like, okay, we know we can go down and score. We've done this nearly two or three times already.
Although I'll tell you this, I like the play call of going for it, Jerry, on fourth down. I thought that was right. I didn't like the play called, but I do appreciate the aggressiveness and the head coach saying, you know what, I'm going to act like I have a pulse this time around versus last year in a couple of those spots. And one other observation that I like about their coaching staff today, I like when that defensive coordinator, Jerry, when that game was on the line, I love him dialing up that pressure because he promised his fan base, that's what I'm going to do in the moment. And Florida gets that thing to 1.5 scores, and all of a sudden people are getting a little nervous, Dubsy, and they run the damn kitchen sink out there on defense and say, come and get you some of that. And they threw 7 men at him at Appleby.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this coordinator promised. You know, in these games, you've got to do that. You cannot be afraid to rush that passer. You saw what A&M did tonight when that game was on the line.
Well, and Tennessee's able to get good pressure with the front four a lot of times. They don't have to blitz.
Burned him.
Yeah. I mean, Barnett turned it on in the second half. Vereen got there a couple of times.
But they threw numbers at him tonight, though, which I like.
Yeah, they brought defensive backs blitzing, you know, bringing it some exotic looks and things like that. So, liking this Bob Shoup guy.
I tell you what, I think part of that is a lot like what we saw in that Virginia Tech game. And that's one of these other things that, you know, that isn't necessarily a scouting report, you know, as far as just pure matchups. But, you know, hey, if you're a coordinator and you're doing well the first half, now you go back out to the second half and you start losing that momentum, do you have the capacity to, you know, keep that thing between the lines and just keep doing what you do best? And I felt like the minute, and you can watch it, the minute that Florida became a one-back team, three wide receivers, one tight end, I knew the game was over. Because that's not what Appleby is best at. And that wouldn't be the focus of what they were doing. So the minute that they took those two tight ends off the field and they stopped being, aggressive, just, you know, sticking with it on the ground, I knew it was game over. Because I knew that wasn't the strength of this quarterback coming after them.
I felt
that's when you start to just see them tee off on that QB.
I felt that way too. It was kind of like, I at that point I thought Tennessee's not only going to reel this team in, they're going to beat this team badly. That was my thought. Which, again, you watch 100 football games, Jerry, you might see one that swings like that one tonight. I mean, that thing right there defied all logic. Both those staffs are going to be breaking that film down and looking at that game, and they're going to both be going, now, wait a second. How did we get from here to here? But it's why that sport is so interesting, because games literally can change. You know, Russell, we were saying earlier, I don't know if you were in here before this, Gary Danielson doesn't believe in momentum. how he can sit in that booth, and he says that. He'll openly say that. He doesn't believe. Jerry, do you believe in momentum in sports, in football?
I do when you have a situation like you did tonight. You know, if you're going to CenturyLink Field, and like tomorrow, it's going to be the 49ers coming in here versus the Seahawks, and we just lost our last division game. You think that crowd is going to be cranked up? Yes. There's going to be other elements other than the guys, you know, with the numbers on their jerseys. And tonight, I thought was, or this afternoon was another example of that. Just, that game couldn't get over fast enough for Florida. I honestly think that's what happened to them tonight. Like, I think they did what they needed to do the first half, but when there's the crowd and you know, I thought Tennessee was mismatched in some areas, but you know, you're playing another good team in Florida. And the longer that game goes on, the more you don't go up more, you know, get more than 21 points, then all of a sudden, you know, the pressure is not on Tennessee anymore. The pressure is on Florida to hold that lead. And I totally agree with you. That's what tends to happen in some of these games. And you do have to account for that stuff.
Can I ask you guys something? This is off a beaten path, but it's like 1 o'clock in the morning, and we're all going to get a little wacky here. I'm going to go back to the phones. Scott Van Pelt and Mike DeBoer, are they related? Russell, I'll start with you.
I don't think so.
They look alike. They look alike.
You think all bald men look the same?
Well, those two bald men look alike. They both look like Mr. Potato Heads.
Hmm.
DeBoer, Jerry, had a pretty good night tonight in the second half, didn't he? I love that wheel route call to Hurd where they got Hurd and Kamara in at the same time, and they used the trickeration on the play, and that's really pretty. That was some pretty football we saw tonight.
Right. going into this game, especially too, I thought Josh was going to have a lot of opportunity to throw the football. I thought the best part of this defense they were facing today was really the run game defense part of what they do.
And it was true.
No Dante Fowler out there, so I thought Josh would have pretty decent time in throwing the football. So I thought it was a matter of just of pitch and catch. And that play, if you think about it, really, you know, they took away the outside guy. They ran him off with the post. They brought Hurd out the back doing a flatten up. So I thought, if you look at it, just what they did in terms of inside of the numbers, or the hashes, I mean, and a play like that where you're going, hey, you know, you're not going to make a living necessarily going against Tabor or Wilson all the time, but hey, can we do something to mess up these aggressive linebackers in Azzalone, I think it's his name, and there's a linebacker, got his number right here.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Gerard Davis, number 40. So, uh-huh. Yeah, you know, those guys are, you know, true run defenders, but I thought they would have their opportunities to get back, give Josh some time, and get some guys downfield and do some things in the middle and not necessarily have to throw against those corners all the time.
Jerry, all lines are currently jammed. I want to show the Periscopers this so they know what I'm talking about. And then we'll go back to our busy phones, 865-200-5402. We take you inside the Mirror Studio tonight. That's currently, let's see, what we're staring at here. All lines are currently jammed, as they will stay throughout. And then over here, you can see how long we've been doing this. Dubsy, it's only been,
I think we're coming up on 7 hours.
5 hours and 55 minutes.
So, yeah, we're completing our sixth
this
hour.
This is some of the beverages we've been through. This is my sign.
Remember when that guy brought the
this
sushi?
Is some of
that
our
was like,
equipment.
Seems like 2 days ago.
That's one of our monitors in the Mirror Studio.
I vaguely remember Ewad being here at some point.
This guy here wants to sponsor me. This is my email. That's that. Let's see. It's my Jerry Glanville book over there. My collection of bootleg CDs. This is a picture of Wiz White.
How about that?
Wiz White. I got Wiz White on the wall. Wiz White.
You see, you're so manic right now. You're like my 2-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
When he gets really tired, he mm-hmm. just starts pointing and identifying things.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball, couch, mm-hmm.
sheep,
light. You're just like showing things now.
Mm-hmm. I used to say, Russell, that you look like a certain celebrity, but I'm not going to drop that on you anymore.
Yeah, that you can't do that one anymore. Bob Saget, you can still do that one.
Bob Saget is pretty good. Although I was kind of thinking about another guy.
Yeah. Let's not go there.
Oh, some...
Hey, Tom?
Yo.
Can you tell how many people add your app?
Tell how many people? What, did you get me some ads?
Man, you got about 15 to 20 ads tonight.
Right on the spot.
Right on the spot.
I would say, Jerry, that we're happening every day. Now, I don't know. I don't know how many ads or not, but all lines are currently jammed, brah. Brah, brah. Okay, I'm coming up on the 6-hour mark. I've got to just stand up for a second. Bear with me here, and then you're going to have to just, you're just going to have to stand up with me. Stand up and cheer.
You're listening to the wildest and wooliest post-game fan show in college football. The Smart Lane Garza Law Firm 5th Quarter Fan Reaction with your host, Tony Basilio. Tony needs to take a quick break, and we'll be right back for more of the 5th Quarter. If you're new to the world of Tony Basilio, welcome to the nerve center of the Big Orange Universe. It starts with TonyBasilio.com. If you want the truth and nothing but the truth on what's going on at the University of Tennessee, TonyBasilio.com's your place. And it's absolutely free. Unlike other sites, Tony doesn't hide the good stuff behind a paywall. TonyBasilio.com. It's all out there for you. Strong recruiting information and analysis from X. Insider information from the Vol Colonel and Orange Throat. Sharp opinions from basketball expert Keith Hatfield and all-around sports guy Jeff Beano Henderson. And of course, no one brings it online like Tony Basilio, with a lot of good emails from his fans. Then Monday through Friday, it's the best 2 hours of sports radio for a Vol fan, as the Tony Basilio Show airs from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on 1180 a.m. The VLC. And the Tony Basilio app. Tony has great co-hosts, like Vino on Mondays and Fridays. And Dr. Sean Sinclair dishes on Vol football every Wednesday. Sometimes, Tony just can't stop at 2 hours. That's when the Fairways and Greens 19th hole kicks in. But you need the Tony Basilio app on your smartphone or tablet to listen when things get really cranked up. Nobody keeps the Big Orange fan up to date and in the know like Tony Basilio. Now, back to the best post-game fan show in college football. The Smart Way Garza Law Firm Fan Reaction. And your host, who's been keeping it real for the Big Orange Universe for nearly a quarter century. Ladies and gentlemen, Tony Basilio.
TB back with you. 1:29 in the Eastern Time Zone. All the games have been played. It's all been spoken. It's all been done. It's pretty awesome. Pretty great day of college football, Dubsy. Would you agree?
Been a while since we've had one like this.
And the... couldn't be any better for Tennessee. Can you imagine Georgia getting beat like that? Just getting the absolute... Jerry, did you see any of that?
I missed it, Tone.
Oh my gosh. They got decrapitated. I mean,
Ole Miss bent them over a barrel and showed them the 50 states.
Ole Miss beat them silly. Beat them silly. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. It's only 134. We've now hit the 6-hour mark. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. You are on your smart way. Garza Law Firm, 5th Quarter.